Okay, we'll have open lines next hour for you. I'll give you a Tom Danheiser update next hour as well. We're going to take your calls with Phil Siracusa as we talk about his work, The Horsefly Chronicles, A Demonic Haunting, right here on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back, Phil Siracusa with us. Phil, first of all, thanks for staying the extra hour for us. Really appreciate it.
Sure, George. Thank you for having me.
They are lining up to talk with you. It's a subject that, of course, hits home for a lot of people. I mean, it's scary. It could happen to anybody, couldn't it?
It could happen to anybody, and I will tell the listener this. The Ouija board, yes, it's just a game, but it's the intent and the thought process that could bring dark entities into your life. Any books of darkness or anything that you don't know of or practicing an occult, be careful because you don't know. And then unfortunately, you could wind up in a case where you can't get rid of these entities. Where you may not see them, you will feel their oppression, negative energy, and your life will not go down the path it was supposed to go down. So take that from knowledge where I'm coming from.
In retrospect, did you make a mistake playing with the Ouija board?
Most definitely. Most definitely. I took the board as a joke back in the 80s. I didn't believe in it. I challenged everything under the sun. And unfortunately, when you challenge what you don't see, it challenges you back.
You invited them.
Yes. Not knowingly.
Not knowingly, of course. But yes. They probably figure by now, hey, we like this.
Yes.
We enjoy wherever we are. We're not going back.
Yes. And that is true. That is 100% true. And let me just tell you the scenery right now. I'm in my basement in the bedroom. That's called the portal. Why am I here? Because I got a family. I don't want to wake up the kids on the second, third floor. So I isolate myself to do these radio shows. But what do I see right now in the room? You see this mist of darkness. Like it just flies by, and then there's nothing for a few minutes. And then a mist of darkness flies by again. That's what I'm seeing with my eyes. And whether somebody picks up any kind of voices or anything, I'm sure the listeners out there, you know, I've been told that there's voices that come from this room, but I don't know. I'm not hearing it. I just see these little weird things. That's the best way I could describe it, George.
Can you feel something ill at ease?
Earlier tonight, I had a previous radio show that I was doing, and they were kept talking about removal of these entities, and I felt myself being held down like a weight was holding me down. I felt darkness coming over me with evil thoughts, and they were picking it up on the radio show. Right now, I don't feel that darkness. I just see mist of blackness flying back and forth every few minutes. It's as if, why am I in this room this late? Because I'm never in this room at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Okay, let's go to some of the calls. We'll go to Richard in Goldsboro, North Carolina, to get things started on the wireless card line. Hey, Richard, go ahead.
Hi, George. How are you guys this morning?
We are fine. Thank you.
Thank you guys for taking my call. The main reason I picked up on this was the horseflies themselves. I had a little incident with those a little while back and know exactly what they're talking about. I'd like to start with Clarissa. She's drawn into this thing. Best thing I can tell her is to get away from it. Don't be by herself, and, well, let's not be committing suicide.
Yeah.
As far as Phil, I don't understand why it started with you from a child, but the thing about that is you're playing with fire. You know that with the Ouija board, and now you're sitting back and saying, I'm waiting. I'm gonna nail this thing down, and well, if you think you're the paranormals or all the other people coming in and going out are any smarter than anything that's been around for hundreds of thousands of years, you're not. And fear, I heard you say you were scared, not as scared as I am for you. These things have got you. They're not letting you go. And the further along it goes, the more they're going to have you. I heard you say that you were a middle-way kind of guy with the evil and the good. And, well, for all the listeners out there, I'd also like to say that everything in this universe was created by the God above, and that includes him knowing of the good and the bad. And as far as aliens go, aliens are good and aliens are bad. And I actually have proof of that. Won't get into all that right now. But they are both.
What's he do, Richard, to get rid of these things?
Well, the thing about it is and he may disagree with this, seeing because it started with him as a child, and that's the part that's unreal. It had to be evil from the beginning.
Yes.
The only thing that he can possibly do is put himself in a holy place and around holy people, and the mist that he's seeing and the holding down it's a game. They're playing a game with him. They won't let him. Rebuke is what the word comes to my mind. You have to rebuke it, and I'm sure you've done everything in your power. I've been through a little incident about 6 years. I can't imagine being through it a lifetime. My heart goes out to you and your family. But the only thing non-religious that I can try to tell you is, remember the movie Freddy Krueger, Nightmare on Elm Street?
Oh, sure do. Wes Cravens.
The little gal at the end of the movie turned her back. Was not going to give it any more energy whatsoever and walked right through it. Now, it returned in another movie, but that's another movie. The thing about it is, Jesus, when he passed away from this earth, he left us with something called the Holy Ghost. And I'm a firm believer and live it every day and know it to the bone. And Phil, please search yourself. I hope and pray nothing has happened to your family, and I hope and pray that nothing ever happens to your family. But somewhere along the way, you got to draw a line. You got to make a decision instead of being the halfway and the in between the two. And that's where your demons are lying. And you're not playing with entities or demons. These horseflies, Clarissa said out of her own mouth a while ago, she knew better than to say it, but she said it. He brought it out of her mouth. You're messing with the main guy.
The devil.
That's right. This is not you're bringing it to the world. You're breeding evil. And it may be wherever you go, like you said, it's coming. You got to make a decision, Phil. You got to go from one side to the other.
Good advice, Richard. What do you think, Phil?
I think it's great advice. It's great advice, and, you know, again, it's easier said than done, because when you live it, you are pulled in two different directions, both good and evil. I could lie to anybody and say, well, I'm full of good and holy, and I'm not. I got to be honest with you. When you live a life, when you follow one of these dark entities, it separates you. It doesn't want you to see the light or shed goodness. It wants to put a stronghold. And then again, challenging it, you know, what I am dealing with, I believe, the higher demons, they also retaliate very badly, very badly. If I talked about one death that happened years ago, and I said maybe it was a coincidence, could you just imagine what happens when you really bring in people that don't leave to try to remove it? What a fight that would be, and who would even walk out of the fight? Would I even walk out of it? You know, I don't know if I'm ready for that.
Do these paranormal investigators, Phil, that have come to the home, do they leave frightened? I've always wondered, you know, they're human beings. They have, you know, emotions like all of us. How do they feel when this is done, when they have to leave?
I tell them before they walk into this house, do not provoke. Do not talk about removal. You're just here to investigate. When we walk into the basement of the home, I say it out loud. They are just here to investigate, not to remove. Now, the gentleman I spoke about earlier, a couple months ago, when he investigated this case, he was doing his own investigation out in Virginia, and the same names from this house followed him to his house. and it was the same exact voices. And I listened to the recording, and to me it showed me that these dark entities follow. He didn't come here to remove. He came here to research and document, but they will follow you home. They will. And there's no doubt about it in my mind. Back in the winter, a lady had called me up. She's a demonologist, and she's a good friend of Lorraine Warren's.
Yeah.
And she says to me, I heard about your case. I want to come down there and help you. I says, okay, just, you know, if you're sure that you know what you're doing. She goes, I've been doing this for years. A week later, she calls me up, and she says that she got attacked in her home, and she lives very far away from me. And she says, I'll never come next to you, and don't ever call me again. Now, look, I could say she's either crazy, on drugs, an alcoholic, or she's telling me something that's validating what other people have came forward and said. And it kind of makes sense, George, because what they're saying is this. People with the intent to remove entities, the entities will go to them first. Low entities may just scare them. Hardcore demonic entities that are way on top will do serious damage so those people do not come here. And I've seen that over and over again, and I questioned, is everybody nuts or is it true? I got to be honest. I think it's true at this point in my life that they don't want people to remove it, and they'll go after them no matter where they live.
I mean, even after this discussion, Phil, are you still convinced that whatever these entities might be, you are convinced they're extraterrestrial alien types?
I don't know. I don't understand, and neither do paranormal teams that come here. They don't understand it either, because one thing has absolutely nothing to do with the other. You don't see these white lights shoot out from anywhere and then disappear. That has nothing to do with a haunting, and that's where I'm even getting thrown off. Like, what kind of life am I living?
Yeah.
I know it's evil, but I don't know what the connection is.
Let's go to our first-time caller, Chris, in Columbia, Missouri. Chris, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, I actually have a very odd story.
Okay.
What happened with me was when I was 13, I was having problems like going to sleep because every time that I was left by myself at night, I started hearing, it started out as whispers, like multiple whispers, and then it got louder. And I told my family about it, and they got really kind of just like hush hush about it until I was 16, and my mom kind of came out and told me that when I was a really little kid, I had an imaginary friend. His name was Junior, and everything seemed like a normal imaginary friend until one night he tried to get me to like leave the house, and they caught me trying to leave. And you know, my mother is like, you need to put some space between you and him. Tell him that you don't want to hang out with him anymore. And when that happened, she came forward with the story years later. But when that happened, started showing up with bruises, and things were showing up on my wall, and things were trying to come through the wall and get me at night. And it became like, it was kind of messed up to hear later on that that was happening. But it turned out that there's this whole history that our house is next to a graveyard, It seemed weird that it came back later in my life, but it lasted until I was about 16. And whenever I started to try to like listen to what the voices were saying, that's when they stopped.
What do you mean when you tried to listen to what they were saying, they stopped? Explain that.
It always seemed as if it was a group of people, and it always started out as a small whisper.
Yeah.
And get louder.
But when you were more attentive, they seemed to run away.
No, it got. It, the worst point, it sounded like a group of people were yelling at me.
Huh.
And you can never make sense out of it.
Well, Phil,
and as I tried to explore more, it just became less and less. It started happening less frequently.
And then it went away. Phil, in your particular case, you mentioned there were voices. What did they sound like?
They sound like whispers and growls.
Can you make out anything?
Yeah, you can make it out when these paranormal teams bring in their equipment and help amp up the voices. It's very evil voices that come through. I was actually challenging one of these voices through an app that was made by Anthony Sanchez, another investigator.
Yeah, know him well.
And I'm like, am I talking to myself? Am I actually talking to this thing in the basement? And you know how you know it's real is because it's a direct response to the question. When you're fighting back with it, you're arguing with it, it's arguing back, but in an evil voice. So, you know, I think that these things, again, they listen, they can communicate when they want to, And it's they're all dark energy. It's negative energy that they're putting out there. And the more energy they have, the stronger they can come here into the physical world and communicate with us or cause harm.
Let's go to Jan in Corvallis, Oregon now on the wild card line. Hello, Jan. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for sharing your story tonight and for taking my call.
Sure.
I just have a couple of quick things, and I can either run through really quick and say it, and then let you respond or stay on the line, whichever you prefer.
Okay, go ahead.
One thing I do have a question is, by any chance, have you heard of a ministry called Aslan's Place in Apple Valley, California? Have they worked with you at all?
Phil?
No, I don't know.
Okay.
Okay. All right. If you're interested, that there you can go online and check that out. It's just called aslansplace.com. And another question that I have, has anybody talked with you about actually binding, silencing, and rebuking the enemy and the demons in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth?
Almost like what they do at an exorcism, Phil. Have you tried to do that? Any real concerted effort to get them to just get out?
Yeah, that was done a couple months ago by a ministry. And they went through every room in the home and, you know, said prayers through the Bible and very diligently with holy water as other people were saying prayers behind them. These dark entities, the air was light for a couple of days after that, and then it came back full force. And it said, in its own way, not by a voice, but it's like, you try to remove me, and now you'll deal with the repercussion, because you'll be sick, you'll feel drained. You know, this is what happens. This is what they do to fight back when you try to push their buttons. And I want to say this.
And they do fight back, don't they?
Yep, and there's a video on YouTube. And you type in the Horsefly Chronicles, and you're going to see a picture of a slot machine. On top of the slot machine is a toy dinosaur. The dinosaur went off on direct response of a question. Now, Carissa bought that dinosaur for my son for his birthday. After the ministry was here, I told my wife a couple days later, something's back in this basement. You cannot make that dinosaur go off. It's not light, motion, or voice activated. That dinosaur went off through an entity. Somebody caught what I put out there, and they caught a shadow person walking down the basement stairs, and that is on YouTube.
And you're in the basement right now.
I'm in the room of the portal.
All right, we're going to come back and take final calls with you, Phil, in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Wow. Hey, Cosmic Disclosure is an incredible program with David Wilcock and Corey Good, and you can watch that by going to our website, beyondbelief.com. Of course, our TV show is there for you as well, but it's a great program. The episodes for Corey for the first couple are free to watch. Go take a look at them by going to beyondbelief.com. Welcome back with Bill Syracusa, his book, The Horsefly Chronicles. And Phil, I should ask you, where can people pick the book up?
Sure, thank you. The book is on Amazon, The Horsefly Chronicles, and the second book is The Curse of The Horsefly Chronicles. And what that book is, the curse is all the paranormal teams that came to my home, in their own words, I copied and pasted it, they said what they've experienced here at the Horsefly House. And I wanted to bring that with their pitches, with their testimonial and their evidence to the world in that book.
I want to mention their names. There's, of course, Carissa Fleck, who was just on with us, Sean Austin, Melissa and Jeff Leeper, and Scott Gerhardt.
Yes.
They all came out of it okay?
Yes. You know, people, yeah, well, it's interesting how people come out of it. And there's another book that's going to come out with other teams that have been here in the last 6 months that have documented this case.
What do they generally say, Phil, after they leave? I'm never coming back. What do they say?
Good luck.
Yeah.
You know,
see ya.
When science can't explain paranormal and you get all these different things happening under one roof, what does a person say? You know, they could just bring the most evidence, but sometimes their evidence gets fooled, but other things that happen. So it becomes a big mystery at some point, you know. I got to laugh because if I don't laugh, I'll probably go nuts, right?
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Has this been trying on your wife?
Many of times. My wife is a hardcore Italian woman from New York, you know, tough mentally, but...
She's like the woman in The Goodfellas.
Yeah, but evil could bring you down. Let me explain to the listener that evil finds your weakest link.
Yes.
And what does that mean? If you're an alcoholic, if you have a drug addiction, if you have a temper, whatever it is, dark energy will attack it and make it 100 times worse.
It knows. It watches you. That's how it learns.
Yes. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't take drugs. I'm a former fitness owner, competitive bodybuilder. So it cannot attack me in that way. But what it can do is drain me completely to the point where sometimes it's hard to get up.
Emotionally.
That's what it does to me.
Yeah. Okay, back to the calls we go. Let's go to Marcus in Louisville, Kentucky, east of the Rockies. Hello, Marcus.
How you doing, George?
Good, sir. Thank you.
Thank you for the show tonight. I wanted to ask Phil, and I really wanted to ask a lot of people who tie demons and aliens together.
Okay.
I always want to know, how can a non-physical being, why would a non-physical being that can search you out just from your essence or your energy, why would they need to put a physical implant in anybody? That's just something I could never understand, and I'll take my answer off there.
All right.
Thanks.
And I want to answer that question.
It's all yours.
I want to answer that question. You know what I got? Well, some of us are a walking GPS. That's what I got. That's what I understand. I never had MRI because they'll think I'm nuts and put me in a straitjacket. But I think that some of us are a walking GPS for a higher intelligence.
It's also possible that they're trying to control you, Phil. I thought for years, when I talked to the late Dr. Roger Lear, that these might have been tracking devices. I'm not sure anymore. I think that these devices give them the ability to do something to you, to plant seeds in your brain or something. But I don't think they're tracking devices.
It's a big question mark. That's just what I feel from my experience. I could be wrong. I don't know. I don't have all the answers to that. But the higher intelligence knows exactly what they're doing. And how does that relate to demons? I still don't get it. But I think there's a connection somehow.
What finally compelled you, Phil, to go public with the story?
Well, you know, a few months ago, I had a very well-known ufologist at my house. And it's hard to talk about this stuff. It is, you know. About what
we'd probably know who it was, I would guess.
Yeah, and I'm like, you know, I don't want to put this out in the public. He goes, I understand. He goes, but a lot of people could learn from your experience because you're a hardcore guy and you tell it the way it is. And, you know, it's hard to believe some of these stories. And when I told him, he says to me, you're not the only one. That's all I could say, Phil. You're not the only one that's dealing with this. He goes, I can't answer all the demonic things that are happening in your home. But as far as the time lapse and these encounters with Grays, you are not alone by any means.
You are not alone. That's absolutely true. And again, like I was telling you at the beginning, there's a camp of people out there that think ETs are demonic. You're not alone there. Next up, Jeff's in Culver City. Hey, Jeff, go ahead.
Yeah, hi, George and Phil Siracusa. Yeah, you're right, man. I think they need GPS, you know, entities on the ground, you know, for coordinate purposes. But earlier you mentioned the dead coming back through invitation or invocation. You know, many people who have lost loved ones wish that they could communicate with their beloved friends, relatives, and children in dreams or even in apparitions, you know, during waking hours. But you know, I personally wish that many of the people I've seen would never come back, you know, in dreams or apparitions otherwise, but they do. But my question is this, Mr. Siracusa, exactly how are these visitations being manifested, and do you believe it's through God, the devil, or some other government entity, and how come the visits do not appear to individuals who truly want visitations from their loved ones, you know, in connection to their, you know, deceased loved ones? And I'll take you on yourself there.
Well, this is only a three-hour show. I mean, I have a lot I could say, but unfortunately, time is ticking. I will say this. I was able to communicate with people that I knew that died at a young age that did not go to the light of heaven. They were just earthbound spirits. Maybe at a later date I could talk about that, and I've tested the theory if it was possible, and it is. Dark entities, they're always around. And once you act as a lighthouse, it's the devil's work. That's what it is. When Carissa had mentioned the horseflies, it sounds bizarre, right? Horseflies? But then when you look at the movie, the Amityville Horror, when the priest goes in and there's flies all over the window.
All over the place.
It's one of the signs of a demonic entity letting you know I'm here. And horseflies happen in the dead of winter sometimes. I just roll my eyes like, is it really happening? You know, 2 months ago I did a radio show in my basement, and it was a shadow underneath the door going back and forth. I thought it was one of my kids. It was 1 o'clock in the morning. I opened the door, and there's a regular fly, a regular house fly, circling me. Now, I'm saying to myself, am I going nuts, or is the shadow a fly? You know what it is? It's a way that they could do parlor tricks, demonic entities. They can present themselves however they want, but they let me know that they're listening to every word I'm saying.
Why are they mischief makers? What do they want? Are they trying to drive you crazy? Do they want your soul? What do they want?
I don't believe that they want to take me personally out. Like I said, I wouldn't be here. I think it's more torture, and I think that they want to cause fear, a lot of fear. And I think this, George, when I talk about how dark energy is being pulled through batteries, or how we get drained physically when something bad's around, I think that they want to spread their negative energy to others. That's, if you think about the ultimate goal, that's probably, if everybody was miserable on Earth, they would win, wouldn't they?
They sure would.
So I think that's one of their missions, is to cause negativity and problems to people so that they're not happy.
Let's go to Olympia, Washington. Hello, Robert, west of the Rockies. It's your turn.
Oh, good evening.
Hi.
First time caller. And I think I have discovered a way to defeat these demonic energies.
Oh, my gosh. Share it with us.
Okay, so I've had quite a few experiences with dark energy, particularly in the last couple of weeks. And I've come to the conclusion that it's fear. There's two very powerful forces in the universe. One is love, and very close to love, and a very close second, is fear. And these energies are trying to raise a fear in you, and they feed off that energy of fear because it's a very powerful emotion. It's something that's powerful. When you're around somebody that's afraid or highly afraid, you sense that in them. And that's what these entities are after, is that emotion of fear.
What do you think of that, Phil? You would know better than anybody.
Yeah, I think he's right. You know, it's funny, Carissa, last summer, we were sitting on the back deck, and when my wife was being affected, she goes, Carissa had said that it's traveling. It's going from one person to the other. It leaves the person, goes to the other, and causes fear and stress, emotional stress. So he's right about that. Unfortunately, you need a lot of love and a lot of light to remove a lot of darkness. And we've tried it, and we didn't achieve that goal. And I'm going to say this. I don't believe that anybody holds a magic wand, and you wand it, and you say, okay, these things are gone. That's not true. In a real life, it takes a lot of work through either a ministry, a priest, and the people that live the haunting to remove it.
Yeah.
In real life. Because dark entities don't leave right away. It takes a lot of work. So he's right.
When you were a baby, you had these episodes. Something was following you. When you pulled out the Ouija board, you opened up the door and they came through. Why do you think it attached itself to you as a kid? you think maybe from that past life you were talking about?
Yes, most definitely. My story is hard to believe when I talk about how could I experience heaven and how could I experience hell and how did I have a past life when I died in an explosion. Some of us know this. Why, I don't know. It's not that it develops in our brain. It develops through our energy. And I know these things. And I strongly believe that these dark entities came from hell. That's what I believe. And that's why it's so hard to get rid of them. It's not as if I played a Ouija board and a dark spirit came through. No. I believe that these things are so powerful that they could do parlor tricks and hurt people and cause vicious deaths to others. That's what I think. I could be wrong, but that's where my story's going.
Well, you showed them how to get out of there, though.
The transformation of light, that tunnel of light that I talk about, that energy, that vortex where I was being pulled into, it was pulled in with me. Whether that light is another intelligence or the light of God, which I call it, I don't have an exact answer. I don't. But I know that that light, that tunnel of light does exist. And that light is how I was born here in the physical world.
Sam is with us in Phoenix. Hi, Sam. Go ahead.
Yeah. Listening to the conversation that you guys were having, you mentioned that you had moved multiple times. And then you didn't mention anything about, like, trying to get rid of them during that time. And then you move into a house, but you and Carissa both say, it's a strong, I guess it's like a fortification for these demons. Why would you want to move into a place that helps the demons get stronger? And why would you try to get rid of them in a place where they're the strongest? Why not move somewhere where it's holy land or something like, you know, like more pure land and try to get rid of them there where you have the advantage over the evil?
You know, that's a very good question. I want to answer that. I had a lady here a couple months ago who wanted to remain anonymous, a very well-known medium psychic, and she came into my basement, and she got sick, and she says to me, there's a vortex here. And I says, why was I brought to this house? Why did I buy this house? And she goes, you know why you bought this house? Because these demons led you to buy the house. And I says to her, what if I move? She goes, guess what's going to happen? They're going to lead you to buy another house where they want to be. And that goes to one step ahead.
And you just can't keep moving all the time, Phil.
I've lived in 10 different locations. You know, I was under the impression if you cross a body of water, Staten Island to New Jersey, you leave them behind. That's not true at all.
No.
Once they're attached, they're with you. And I can move to 100 different locations. They're there. That's it. Period. Until there's a way to remove them or something that they want that they're not going to be around anymore. That is a mystery.
Let's go to Herndon, Virginia now. It's Grant's turn. Wildcard line. Grant, good morning.
Hey, good morning, George. Hey, Phil. I'm really appreciative of the time I have with you guys right now.
Sure thing.
Mm-hmm. I want to say that I've had many experiences with different types of entities, strong or not. What had to do is with fear and love. About 5 years ago, I started realizing through my childhood, I mean, I'm only 21 now, and I had very vivid sleep paralysis experiences where I'm seeing these shadow figures. Then in my life, I'm feeling, yes, drained, very stressed, conflicted, not well with myself. It got to a point where even I visited relatives in Japan, followed me. Had these same experiences, sleep paralysis. Very terrifying experiences. I understand at first, I did not understand what was going on. That said, it got to a climax where I confronted these shadow beings, demons, what have you, whatever words, the frequency of fear, strength, fear. And I was ripped out my body. I had a very traumatic experience where I thought I was possibly going to die or my heart was beating out my chest.
Oh, boy.
Yes, anybody who's been through sleep paralysis knows for sure or has dealt with these negative entities. Definitely, I know. Even Phil, right now, I'm saying so much love and intention your way. Don't get me wrong. I learned how to defend myself. This is very important. I'm so lucky to have known this. I believe, like you said, too, past life, a soul theme carried through me.
Well, you sound like you surround yourself with light. Now, your phone's breaking up a little bit, but do you do that too, Phil, to protect yourself?
Yes. Many of times, surround myself with light. And listen to this. Listen to this very clearly. A year and a half ago, when the activity started really picking up in this home, there was a night where I played the song Ave Maria, which is a very beautiful song, a religious song. I'm sure you've heard of it. We all heard of it. When I played that song, it was late at night. I have a very big chandelier. It started to sway very slowly back and forth. That scared the living daylights out of me, and I ran to bed and shut the music off. At that point, I realized that this thing does not like holy music.
Did not like it.
No, not at all.
Hmm. Yeah, but, you know, if you had continued with that, what would have happened?
I don't know. I don't know. Sometimes you don't want to push that extra button because you don't know what's going to happen.
Anybody's guess.
It's anybody's guess. You know, you don't know what's behind it. You don't know. And probably if it really wanted to prevail itself, I'd probably have a heart attack, right? Face-to-face, seeing something dead on. So I didn't want to push that envelope that far. I let it go.
All right, my friend. You take care. Good luck with your work. Keep in touch with us on anything else you do, okay?
Thank you for having me, George. You have a great show. And I really do appreciate you listening tonight.
It is a spooky house. Just can't imagine having a demon or demons living in your house. Not fun at all. Hey, we're going to have open lines now in the next hour right here on Coast to Coast AM. And Ben will check in with those of you who are still on hold, lots of you still on hold, to see if you want to be part of open lines or not. In the meantime, of course, just about anything goes. Don't forget to like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter as we hit new milestones all the time. We'll be back.